Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
If you're like me, you're a little bit saddened that the NBA season is over, but that means the next part. The next part of getting better is here, the NBA draft. NBA free agency, busy couple of weeks ahead specifically for the Sacramento Kings. And as we mentioned in the podcast the last couple of days, they are relevant in the draft because they have two very important picks at 5 and 10. And don't forget number 34. That could be a very productive player as well. Welcome in to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Jason Ross. We've had great draft coverage. We're going to continue it today. Jordan Schultz is going to be joining us in just a moment. At Schultz underscore report, does a ton of basketball work, really good at what he does, SI NBA analyst. You'll see him everywhere and has insight on what's going on around the NBA draft and NBA players, and we're going to ask him what he thinks the Kings should do with their picks at 5, 10, and 34. But want to remind you all the different ways, you guys know by now, but I got to keep throwing it out there. Find us every day, Monday through Friday, daily podcast here about the Kings. Of course, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Subscribe there. It's free. Leave us ratings. Leave us a review. That helps us move up some imaginary iTunes ladder. I don't even know how it works, but just do it. If you get a moment, please leave us a rating and review and a comment. And send me feedback, too. Also, our Friday mailbag, my favorite segment of the week. Send me questions, jason.ross at cbsradio.com, or hit me up on Twitter at jasonross1140. Well, we got to continue our NBA draft coverage. It's coming. The NBA season is over after the finals have completed. But now the next step, building your team. So many ways to do it. The draft is important. And someone who knows that very well is Jordan Schultz at Schultz underscore report, SI NBA analyst. Jordan, it was a fun season, but now the next part of work begins. How important in your mind is the NBA draft in the present day NBA?
It's just massive, especially this year, Jason, because the draft is so loaded. It's top heavy. It's deep. Has a lot of different positions that you can get, and really versatility is huge in this draft as well. And that's the name of the game in today's NBA.
Yeah, and you know, hitting it right. You know, I mean, obviously, all these guys, they generally all kind of get it right, but not the order. And are you more a believer that it's these guys when they miss, it's because of the environment they were put in, or why do guys actually miss? What sure. would you say is the key to finding the guy that works?
I think environment's huge, and a good example is you know, Cle'Anthony Early comes to New York, and I really liked him. Got to talk to him before the draft, and thought he could really be a player that could stick around, and he just gets in a dreadful environment with the Knicks, and all of a sudden he's completely off the NBA radar. And you could say the same thing about a lot of different players that go to bad teams or bad locker rooms, bad front offices, and they just never really get going. So that's part of it. I think also, obviously, you know, is fit. How does a player fit in short-term, long-term, and what are they being asked to do? You know, some guys are great players, but when they come into a team, they're asked to do stuff that they're not comfortable doing, and we've seen that a lot. You know, Ricky Rubio was asked to score a lot early on in his career, and that really wasn't his game. He's had a good career, but not a great one, and that's, I believe, part of it's because of the role they carved out for him too early.
Yeah, and what's amazing, Jordan, is if we just take this draft, the top five, Boston, for example, a ready-made playoff team, that person, if they keep one, hey, add to us, whereas 2, 3, 4, 5 up to the Kings, go save the franchise. What pressure it is on these other lottery picks?
Massive. You know, there's pressure on Boston, too, at one, to get it right, because they believe they're close. But absolutely, and for a team like Sacramento, obviously at 5 and 10, I personally don't think they should trade the picks. I think there's a lot of value there. They can get a ton of help. But even if they were to trade the picks and move up, even more pressure then. And you've seen it, because if you go back and look at certain drafts where teams have really hit it, you know, obviously Golden State, you know, when it was Steph or Clay, or Draymond. I mean, that's incredible value they've gotten, especially Green in the second round. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure on teams that are struggling to make the playoffs every year.
So when you're looking at this talent base, as you said, Jordan, pretty stacked, who's the top of your board? Not for Boston per se, but you're looking at all these guys, you've seen them, you know these guys. Who's the most impressive player?
My favorite player in the draft is Josh Jackson. I think he's going to be a superstar caliber player, a Kawhi Leonard caliber player. I think he has everything you'd want except the shooting, and I believe that he'll eventually figure that out. But he sets the edge defensively. He's just a monster, hard-nosed, can score. He's a really interesting prospect. De'Aaron Fox I like a lot. He's a project in the sense that he can't really shoot it, and that's a concern, but everything else is there. I like both those two guys. A little bit off the radar, not as much. Guy I love is Luke Kennard at Duke. I don't know if he's going to go as high as some people think, but I think he can go as high as 10 or 11, maybe even as high as 8 to New York. And he's somebody that has risen, but I feel like it's still off the radar.
It's interesting you mentioned Kennard. I've heard, talking to some of the Kings people that they do like him. He's more of a 2, though, correct? I mean, is he true?
He's a true 2, but he's also a playmaker, Okay. And that's if you... As we know, Jason, you can never have too much of those. And we saw with the finals, Cleveland just did not have enough guys that could make plays.
Yeah, that's true. And I just think about it with the Kings where you go, they kind of have a lot of twos, but if they like Kennard and he's there at 10, you would think that would be okay to pull the trigger there?
Yeah, absolutely. And also just in general of the big guard, I love big guards. He measured well, not as long as I thought he was, but obviously he can really shoot it as well, and that's just a premium. And then just in big guards in general, if the Kings want another big guard, a true point, Frank Nicolina from France, he's one of my favorite players in the draft. He's really dynamic. He's a true point guard, can shoot it, 6'5", long, and he doesn't make mistakes. And he's way more of attractive a prospect than Dennis Smith, who maybe has more upside from NC State and is a better athlete. But I think Nicolina is really intriguing in the lottery.
No concern for you about his – I mean, he doesn't have great stats, but I don't know that matters.
Yeah. And the thing about that is, to your point, is, yeah, his stats are not good. But he's been a pro for a long time. And guys, when they're coming overseas, from overseas, especially the elite clubs – they're young. They don't get a lot of playing time. Porzingis' stats weren't great until the very end of his European career. Nicolina in the Worlds was unbelievable. He can score. And he's just a fascinating prospect for me and somebody that, yeah, the stats aren't very good, but I'm not concerned about it.
How about we've kind of gone this far in and we haven't mentioned Fultz. Where does he fit on your radar?
So I'm from Seattle, and I've gotten to see him play a lot, and he's a wonderful player. He's versatile. He's 6'4". He's big, long guard, athletic, can shoot it, pick and roll. The issue for me with Markelle Fultz is, and it's less of an issue now in today's game, but he's not a true point guard in the sense of like the old school, and that's fine because we're seeing the league shift more and more toward having guards, points that can score. I just wonder if he's a good enough passer out of the pick and roll and just in general from a creative standpoint, or is he more of a scorer? And regardless, he's going to have a really good career because he is so dynamic with the ball. But I think if I had the number one pick, for me, the best player in the draft long term is Josh Jackson.
So I know what you would do. What do you think Boston would do, is going to do?
I think there was a consensus all year that Fultz would go one, Jason, and then all of a sudden we hear Boston wins the lottery and maybe they don't take him because they have Isaiah Thomas. I think he'll go one. I think it's fairly set in stone at this point that Fultz is the guy for the Celtics.
All right, now what becomes interesting, you're one of many that have started talking about two in the Lakers, and everybody, Jordan, has already put Lonzo Ball there. They're ready for him to be the face of the franchise, but maybe not so fast, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people, including myself, early on thought Philly could be the wild card at 3. Where were they going to go? But now, Jason, with the Lakers at 2, it's a fascinating proposition for them. Obviously, they need a lot of help. Lonzo Ball makes sense in a lot of ways. He's from 30 minutes from L.A. He played at UCLA. He's got the Showtime factor. But for me, there's a lot of issues there. One of them is, we talked about De'Aaron Fox. He got outplayed by him in the tournament considerably, and that begins to make you wonder, how is he going to play against elite-level quickness? Because that's what the NBA is all about. Two, is he going to be able to shoot it consistently off the dribble? He can spot up and make threes, but his dribble pull-ups really awkward with that long, elongated release. Never shot the ball that well from the line. And then pick and roll. He didn't run any pick and roll in college. I don't know if he's going to be particularly good right away. I think he could develop pick and roll wise, but that and defensively, those are all concerns. He's a really good player. He does a lot of things really well, especially pass the ball. He's 6'6". You love the size. But from what I've been told, it's very simple. L.A., the Lakers, they don't love him. They never they question whether or not he's a legitimate franchise-changing player, and obviously at two, that's what you want. That's what they thought they were getting with D'Angelo Russell 2 years ago. Didn't happen. And then obviously, I believe this, that we're being naive if we think LeVar Ball is a non-factor. I think teams are concerned about him at least a little bit.
So if that's, you know, what you're hearing is true and they don't do it, what then? I mean, you mentioned Jackson seems like a good fit. Would they even do Fox ahead of him? What would you think their choices would be there?
Yeah, and it's a fair question because obviously both those players are really good. I think Jackson I would lean him. I believe he would be their guy. I think Fox is a dark horse, but Jackson is so versatile, and if you pair him in the front court or on the wing with Brandon Ingram, now you got two elite level athletes and guys that can guard pretty much everybody on the floor. Ingram can really score. Jackson's not at that point yet, but to me, Jackson in L.A. would be just a wonderful pick.
So now, the 3 and 4, you kind of mentioned Philly being a wild card. Phoenix, I'm not 100% certain what they're doing. Those are the two teams ahead of the Kings. If it kind of goes as you're suggesting, Jordan, which it very well could, Fultz and then maybe Josh Jackson, what do you think happens at 3 and 4, and where does Lonzo Ball fall?
Philly's interesting at 3 all of a sudden because they need a point guard. I don't think he would last past 3. Because to pass up on him would be a pretty big deal for Philly. Like, the fans would freak out that, you know, how could you not take him? We need a point guard. You know, some people believe Ben Simmons really is going to play the point full long term. I don't personally believe it. Regardless, Ball gives you a lot of versatility. I think Fox could be in that conversation as well. But if it plays out like Jackson goes to L.A., I think Ball would end up going 3. And then I think Phoenix, I believe, would take Jason Tatum. Mm. They worked him out. He's a wonderful offensive player. They compare him alongside Booker. Fox and Isaac are also in that conversation, two guys that have risen considerably, especially Isaac, somebody that was off the radar for a lot of people during the season as a top 5, top 10 guy.
Yeah, can you rank those two? They're different, Tatum and Isaac, kind of, and even Jackson, but Jackson maybe already ranked higher. But those other two wings, better offensive player in Tatum, maybe better long-term potential in Isaac. How do you break down Tatum versus Isaac?
Yeah, Tatum's, he's going to score 20 points a game for his career, like 18 to 22. That's his sweet spot. He's going to help you right away. He can shoot it, score all three levels. There's some Paul Pierce there, not as big, but there's similar playing styles there. Isaac at 6'11", with the wingspan, the ability to really guard spots, you know, step out on the perimeter, guard, pick and roll, block shots. You know, the comparison ideally people have made is Kevin Durant. That's not who he is. He's not that type of scorer. But the versatility to guard multiple spots, as I discussed, but also somebody that you ideally can mold into a playmaking, you know, big, a playmaking forward that can really make, you know, people better in terms of the pick and roll, the, you know, running the floor. He's a really intriguing prospect. I think long term his ceiling is much higher, but right now Tatum's a considerably better player.
So Jordan, as you've laid it out, if this happens, Kings fans are loving it. They are in love with De'Aaron Fox. I think a lot of them like Jonathan Isaac as well. If that was their choice at 5, to me it's a win-win. I know they'd love to get Isaac at 10, but I don't think that's happening. But if that's their layout, wouldn't you lean towards Fox over Isaac?
Yeah, I would. I think for what they want to do with that team, what Sacramento would love to do in terms of running and being able to push the pace and really control tempo, Fox is just perfect for that. And, you know, he can play in any system because he can both pick and roll, he can push tempo. He's a pit bull, but he's also somebody like a Patrick Beverley where he can guard you, but he can, I think, long-term really score. The jump shot is a concern. There's no doubt about it. But if he falls into Sacramento's lap at five, I think that makes a lot of sense. And he's a great kid. He's charismatic. Teammates love him. And he's a gamer.
Everything I hear from the Kings camp, too, is they just, I mean, their term is motor. They just, and you kind of pit bull. You he just plays
never
hard.
Stops.
Yeah.
Never stops. Never gets tired. He's just, there's a lot to like about De'Aaron Fox. I mean, I mentioned Isaac. He's a great prospect. You know, he's intriguing in a lot of ways. Tatum can score. But Fox can come in right now and set the edge. He can guard. People will love playing with him. You know, there's a lot to be said about that, especially at five.
Yeah, no doubt. And then I know it's impossible to know what's going to happen 6, 7, 8, 9, but some targets at 10 that you think would be a good complement to Fox, a good complement to the Sacramento Kings. We're hearing names like, you know, if Isaac certainly fell that far, which I don't think so, but
he won't.
Markkanen, maybe some of those bigs that are rated lower, mm-hmm. Collins. I don't know. What do you think is some good targets maybe at 10?
Well, Zach Collins is one of my favorite players in the draft. You know, he was the first McDonald's All-American to go to Gonzaga. He really came on strong second half of the season. I'm going to talk to him today, and from everything I've heard, he's a really good kid, which is a plus because you don't want to have that be a concern. He's 6'11". He can score on the block. He can shoot it. He can handle the ball. I like him more than Markkanen, and I like Markkanen a lot. But I think just going back to that versatility, coming in right away, Collins helps you right now. And then if we're assuming they were to take Fox at five, obviously they don't need a point guard, so they wouldn't have to talk about Smith or Nicolina. I think Kennard's fascinating. Markkanen is the only other guy to me in that conversation because I don't think Monk's going to be there. I also don't really like the fit.
Mm-hmm.
And what he can do right now, Markkanen, is he'll stretch this floor and he'll pick and pop. The frame is a concern. He's not as thick as Zach Collins, but he's a very good player. Minnesota likes him at 7. Dallas likes him at 9. I believe he will be there potentially at 10, which makes it a very tough choice. So I think Zach Collins will be there as well.
You know what's interesting? A guy, Jordan, that the Kings had in and a lot of people loved, but there's so much concern about his knees, is Harry Giles. And so talent, yeah. He's high lottery, but where do you weigh him? Because I could see him fitting a lot of teams, but what do you do with Harry Giles?
Yeah, a lot of people have asked me about him, and I think it's one of the harder guys to evaluate. I'm not a fan. I'll just start with that.
Okay.
I don't think his game translates in the sense that there's not a lot of versatility there, and I keep saying that because that's what we just saw in the finals. Can you do more than one thing well? Giles comes in to Duke as a number one or number two player in the country. He's torn his ACL twice. When he did play, he wasn't very effective. He looked uncomfortable. When he was coming out of high school, people said Chris Webber. Well, I haven't seen any of that. And I know he's athletic. He measured well. He's 6'11". He'd probably grow a little more. Another guy that people like in terms of he's a good kid, but I just don't see it for him. Portland likes him a lot, and I've been told they're going to potentially take him at 15, which is, I think, a big reach. They could also take him at 20. Bottom line is he'll be on the board at 10 for Sacramento, but I just think he's a massive risk. I understand the upside potentially, but what's to say he won't hurt his knees again or he really won't get comfortable on the floor considering that he hasn't really recovered from these injuries?
So, Jordan, I've asked a lot of people about maybe people outside the lottery, 15 and on, like someone that's jumped out to you, and the name that comes up mm-hmm. the most to me is Caleb Swanigan. What do you think about him?
I don't see it.
Oh, that's
know?
Good. Why is that?
Well, he was a great college player, one of the best big men in the past few years in the college game, and he's really long. But his game, to me, isn't suited, again, to the NBA right now. He's a banger. He added some shooting to his game, which was nice, but he's only 6'7.5". He's a 6'7.5" big man who doesn't shoot it. You know, he can shoot it to a degree, and I think he made one three a game, and he shot a good percentage, but the sample size to me doesn't suggest he's going to be a particularly good NBA shooter. And if you look at his metrics, he didn't shoot a lot of deep threes. I just don't think from a post perspective he'll be able to consistently score in the block. He's not particularly athletic. He's kind of a banger, and that's not to say he won't play in the NBA for several years, but I don't think he's worth taking anywhere in the top 45.
Wow. All right, so let me ask you then, who's someone ranked lower than you have a higher opinion of them than where they are ranked on a lot of mock drafts? Who's someone like that?
There's a few guys I just love. Jordan Bell, I love. I think, you know, all-time shot blocker at Oregon, and really an energy guy that can help you. And I know that some mocks have him linked to Sacramento at 34. I'm a big fan. I think there's a couple of really intriguing guys that are, you know, maybe later first, early second, but Terrence Ferguson is an elite-level athlete, 6'7", can really shoot it. Obviously played in Australia, was going to go to Arizona. Not a lot of people know about him, but he's going to play. He can play right away and score. A couple other guys that are maybe even more off the radar. I mean, I think Kyle Kuzma from Utah is one of the real potential steals in this draft. You know, he's 6'9", but he's a really versatile offensive player, can shoot it, can bang, run the floor. And then one more name that perhaps isn't getting a lot of love, but Frank Mason. I mean, this guy was an awesome college player. And I know he's small. I know he's not a great athlete. He's not long, but he's going to play in the NBA a long time. And somebody, whether it's 40 or 50, somewhere late in the second is going to get a steal.
I wonder how much the Kings like him, because I've heard great things about him. They've had him in once. He's actually coming in a second time. They pick at 34. I don't know if that's their target or moving down to get him, but it seems like they're in love with Frank Mason.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teams that like him. And you know what? If they don't take a point at 5-10, or if they trade up and don't take a point, the other guy in that conversation I think should be Juwan Evans from Oklahoma State. There's a drop from Dennis Smith to him, but from a pick-and-roll perspective, he's fantastic. And just a super finisher around the hoop, especially for someone who's only 6'1". He's really long. I actually like him more long-term than Dennis Smith. So I'm surprised. I think the size hurts him a little bit. I'm surprised he's not mocked higher. But at 34, if he's there and they don't take a point, that's somebody else I think they would behoove them to consider.
All right, Jordan, I'm going to finish with this. I've been asking everyone that's been on, what's a perfect night for the Kings? We're going to assume they're going to keep their picks. We don't want to do the trade, but 5, 10, 34, these three names end up in Sacramento. You would say,
ooh, I like it.
You would say they have this night. Yeah.
Perfect night would be Fox at 5.
Yep.
I'm just trying to, there's so many options.
I know, 10, you put a lot there.
I would say Fox at 5, Zach Collins at 10. And Juwan Evans, I was thinking point guard. At 34, that's really tough because there's so many interesting prospects there.
You mentioned Bell
or Jordan
Kuzma?
Bell.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go Jordan Bell because he's going to play. Like, he's not Ben Wallace, but that's – and I know that Ben Wallace is – there's not a lot of those guys that can really play in today's game. He developed a little bit offensively last year, and because of the motor, the length, he's a guy that is just going to find a way to contribute. So at 34, to me, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, Jordan, this has been great. SI NBA analyst. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, @Schultz_report, just a hoops junkie as well. Fun. I'm looking forward to the draft. Thank you for your insight, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Anytime, my man. You too.
All right, my thanks to, and many thanks to, Jordan Schultz for joining us @Schultz_report. Jordan does great work as an SI NBA analyst, knows the college hoops, as you could tell. And that's why I love doing this each day, having different people's opinion on the talent out there. I mean, they're all their opinions. Some of them will prove to be right. Some of them will prove to be wrong. But you do this, and I love that he gave the perfect night for the Kings. And I know you love that Fox was at 5 for Jordan. Also, Collins at 10, and 10's the position that is moving most on a daily basis. And then he gave us a 34, Jordan Bell. All those Oregon guys can play. They really can. It's just all good college basketball players. Where will they be as NBA players? But Bell, if you take him at 34, that's a good pick. And again, you think about second rounders, especially this year, that had an impact and made all-star teams. I mean, Paul Millsap, Isaiah Thomas, Kings fans, you know that well, is a 60th pick. DeAndre Jordan. Gasol. I mean, there's plenty of guys that had an impact this season as second-round picks. And so hopefully that 34th pick, which is high second round, can end up making this team and be in the rotation and have an impact going forward. So, again, my thanks to Jordan Schultz. Thank you to all of you for listening. We're back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.